Care about, say this is for Parshas Vayigash. We'll just close the door. Gershon's here. Good. On the way in, can I ask you to close the door, Gershon?
Yes. Okay. I'm gonna go get a chair. Two, three.
So what we have here is a sefer called Tiv HaTorah. And this is authored by one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Shara Shamayim, and his name is Rav Gamliel HaKohen Rabinovich. And Gershon, you can take the top two pages and just just staple them together. Okay, then. Now, what I like about this essay is that he takes various parts of Parshas Vayigash and he teaches us Musar. Very often we learn Chumash and we fail to I'll put this away so I don't lose it, things get lost here, and we fail to derive conclusions and lessons from the Torah itself which would put us on the right track and teach us how to live our lives. And very often the Torah tells us stories, episodes, and we can miss the point. But if you realize that it's part of the eternal Torah, so let's give a few examples here. And then, if time allows, I want to talk to you about Binyamin receiving massive gifts from Yosef, and we'll see if we can derive some lessons from that. But first, let's go to the analysis here of what's called Lo Yachlu Echav La'anoso. So let's open up the Chumash to Perek Mem Hei. Is there an extra Chumash? Yeah, I'll take this one. Thank you so much. And it should be about page 111 if I remember correctly. Let's just see. Perek Mem Hei. Here it is. Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. This is on page 111. Now, at this point, Yosef breaks down, and he tells everyone to leave except for his brothers. And Vayitenes Kolo Bibchi, he breaks out crying. And then in the next pasuk, Vayomer Yosef El Echav, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avi Chai. Basically, a very short sentence. We have a Chumash for you here, Austin, if you'd like, and these are the Maror Makomos pages. Gershon, give them the stapled version. So, when it's stapled, it has more of a chashivas to it. Yeah, please, just to make yourself at home. There are chairs in the back, chairs over here. Now, in these very short words, Yosef obviously declares his identity, reveals his identity. And the pasuk says that at this point, the brothers are stunned. They're dumbfounded. V'lo yachlu lanos oso. And they couldn't respond to what he said. Ki nivhalu mipono. They're in a state of behola, of absolute shock. Now, what can we learn from this episode? On the one hand, on a human psychological level, here, take a look at inside, you'll see the psukim here. This is something that the Torah tells us. It doesn't mean that this is monumental and it has some sort of eternal message. But if you look in Chazal, in the Medrash Rabbah, Abba Kohen Bardol Omar, what we have to realize is that life is not just a game. It's not just a lot of fun. Now we can sort of sail through life and take life easy. There's a very important moral lesson here. We believe in reward and punishment. That means there will be a day of judgment at the end, you know, after we leave this world. And that's called the Yom HaDin. Now, if you take a look carefully, the language of Abba Kohen Bardol is that there's a Yom HaDin and there's a Yom HaTochacha, which is a day of rebuke. And the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, is famous for saying that these are two different concepts, Din and Tochacha. Din means that we'll be held guilty for any chas shalom violations and criminal acts. But tochacha means that we'll be held responsible even for the mitzvos, the positive actions that we could have done, but we wasted our time with averos. So we'll be punished not only for the avera, but for the fact that we could have used that time and that energy for a mitzvah. And for that potential that we wasted, we'll also be judged. Anyway, the judgment on high is very awesome. And Oilanu means woe to us. You know, there's no way of explaining our emotional fear and trembling about that day of judgment. And to impress upon us how scary and how awesome the judgment is, he, Abba Kohen Bardol, derives Kal V'Chomer. And there are two Kal V'Chomers here. One is from the case of Bilam. Bilam is going to get rebuked from his donkey. And the case of Yosef, who's the youngest of the brothers, right? Keep in mind, Binyamin wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef, so therefore he's the youngest of the brothers. And the other brothers can't even deal with it. They're totally dumbfounded. So let's take the case of Bilam. Bilam, Chacham Shel Goyim. Imagine, Bilam is considered a man of great stature. He's the only prophet of the non-Jews, and he's a very smart guy. V'lo yachal lamod, and he doesn't know how to stand on 2 feet in the face of tochachso shel asono, when his donkey gives him a piece of rebuke, a piece of his mind. You know, Hashem opens up the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey says to him, you know, I've always served you properly, and now you're hitting me, you know, with a sword. You're about to kill me. Ha'esken iskanti lasos lecha ko. And he says to him, have I ever endangered your life that now I deserve to be killed? Vayomer lo. And, you know, even Bilam the Rasha has to admit the truth. He has nothing to say on his own self, on his own self-behalf, you know, in self-defense. Here's another Kal V'Chomer. Yosef Ktanom Shel Shvatim Haya. He's the youngest of all these brothers. And nevertheless, his older brothers cannot take, they can't tolerate, they can't stand on 2 feet in the face of his tochacha. And therefore, lo yachlu echav lanos oso, ki nivhalu miponov. The pasuk indicates they couldn't take it. They couldn't stand on their own 2 feet. They had nothing to respond in self-defense. You know, normally when there's a judgment on high, you have the prosecuting attorney, you have the defense attorney. Here, there's no defense. And he says, how much more so Kshayava Kodesh Baruch, when God, who's the infinite, you know, all powerful, omnipotent being, V'yochiyah kol echad l'fi mashahu, is therefore, how can we stand in the face of the castigation and the criticism, the prosecution of HaKadosh Baruch on the Yom HaDin and the Yom HaTochacha? And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, O Chichacha, Hashem says, I will rebuke you, V'erchacha leinecha, and I'll show you what your value is in front of your eyes, Zalach has come, how much more so will be overwhelmed and will be frightful. Now, I have to say this. Usually, Gershon, we don't try to profess, you know, fear to the sense of, you know, that could make a person frozen and almost depressed when he thinks about the ultimate judgment. But on the other hand, we have to be serious about the fact that life, you know, we're accountable for our actions. It's not just, you know, like the playboy who, you know, lives the laid-back action and he can enjoy all of life. So the point of this medrash is to balance, you know, we need a balance here. We have to be well balanced. And on one extreme, we could walk around being depressed all the time and upset with our own achievements and belittling ourselves, lowering ourselves. But on the other hand, in the other extreme, we could build ourselves up and say, you know, I'm protected from the law. You know, nothing is going to get me. I'm going to enjoy life. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, and that's it. So the Chazal want to create a balance over here, and they feel on a Musa level it's very important that we realize the seriousness of life and the ultimate judgment. It doesn't mean that you have to walk around 24/7 in a state of trembling and depression. You know, that would be that the psychiatrist would have certain different categories for that. You know what I'm talking about? You know, people who walk around constantly in fear and you know, they can't move; they're almost frozen. You don't know what I mean. Okay, fine. So we'll leave it.
I do, Rabbi. I'm thinking, you know, the Ramchal actually expounds on the pasuk. You know, happy is he who is always in fear, and it's not this type of trembling and depression.
Right. It's got to be a fear that motivates you. You know, that makes you realize the golden opportunities that you have, and you should take advantage of them. You shouldn't be depressed and frozen. It should project you and motivate you. And we have to realize this. We don't have to walk around at every step of the way, you know, thinking what's going to be after death. But we should realize, and that's what should propel us and control our lives, that if we don't live a disciplined life, we're going to get punished for that. There's going to be a day of reckoning. Now, there's another statement in the Medrash attributed to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he says that Yosef HaTzadik, he has a slightly different twist on this Kal Vachomer. Yosef HaTzadik is Basar V'dam, he's mortal man, he's human, he's flesh, he's here today and gone tomorrow. Ukshechiach Esechov, nevertheless, when he gave a rebuke, a chastisement to his brothers, Lo Yachu Amod V'Tochoso, they couldn't withstand it. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shu Dayan, he is a judge, Ubal Din, and he's going to take us to task as if he was a litigant, and we were rebelling against him. The Yoshev Al Kisei Adin, he sits on the judgment, on the seat, the throne of judgment, done. Kol Echad V'Echad, he judges every individual, Achas Kam V'Kama, how much more so than mortal man is not able to stand in front of the Ribono Shel. And what we see from this is a very important Musar, as we said before, that when we look at stories in the Torah, we have to realize that there's a very heavy message that underlies this story, that's being conveyed in this story, that we have to learn how to behave, how to get close to Hashem, and straighten out our lives. And therefore, a person, when he studies Torah, really is obligated to see the Torah through the perspective, the lens of some sort of an eternal message of ethics that's being conveyed to him. And that the Torah doesn't write stories just for the sake of stories. This is not history. But rather it's meant, every story is meant to teach you a derech hanhaga, a way of life. And if we take the Torah seriously, and that's how we learn the Torah, and we don't take it superficially and just write it off as some sort of episode, but rather it's an eternal message that underlies, that sometimes is concealed behind the story, under the surface, then we're learning Torah properly. And you know that the Ramban wrote a famous letter to his son, and he warns his son, Avizoy Likros B'Torah Tamid, that when you study Torah and you should be dedicating yourself to constant learning, Asher Tuchal Lekaima, make sure that whatever you're learning, you have the ability to fulfill it. And therefore, when you stand up from the Sefer, because you close the book and you go on into life, to Chapes, you know, in your mind, you should be investigating, turning over. Like a leaf, you know, turn over all that you studied and see what you can fulfill, how you can implement whatever you study. Tefashbesh b'masecha boker v'erev, day and night, you should take a look at your actions and check them, you know, put them up to a magnifying glass and see how they're doing. And bazen, therefore, kol yemecha v'tshuva, that all your days are really dedicated to do better, to improve yourself, and to do tshuva. Let's go on to the next story. Okay, this is in Perek Mem Vav, okay, which is a very long perek here. And towards the end of that perek, I think it is here on page 114.
Yes.
And here, if you remember, the people of Egypt were desperate for food, and Yosef was in charge of giving out the food. And at some point, you know, there was no money left. You know, they'd spent whatever they had to buy food from the government, from the government that was represented by Yosef. And finally, at this point, they said, look, what do we have to give you? So the only thing they had to give them was land. And that's what the pasuk says over here. No, I'm not finding it here right now on page 114. Let me just see if it's a little bit later on page 117. Yeah.
117.
You'll see it on the top of page 117 in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says, "V'es ha'am hevir osoli arim miktzei gvul mitzrayim v'katzeyu." Imagine, Yosef is moving people around because they're giving up their land. The government now owns their land, and there's very little private land left. So Yosef is involved in moving people from place to place, relocating them from one neighborhood to the other, from one end of the city to the other end of the city. And Rashi adds a very important comment here in the name of the Medrash, and he says, "Lo diach shvacho shel Yosef." This is on the third line in Rashi. This is getting a glimpse at the moral compass, the ethical genius of Yosef. Shenis Kavin, what was his purpose over here? Moving the Egyptians around from place to place. La hasir cherpa mi'al echav. To remove the humiliation of the brothers. Shelo yukorno so golim. Now, I can just tell you that when I was a youngster, and certainly in my father's time, when people came over from another country, the immigrants, and there were many Jewish immigrants, they were called greenies, you know, because you had to get a green card from the government in order to allow you to stay. And it became kind of like a pejorative term. You're a second-class person because you're an immigrant. You don't speak the language properly and so forth. Can you imagine the brothers come to Egypt and they speak Hebrew, they don't speak Egyptian. They're not familiar with the culture. They're really an alien, you know, like a foreigner. They're foreigners in the country. They're immigrants. And that's a very humiliating situation when you feel, you know, that everyone around you knows the language and the culture and you're just, you know, looked upon as an immigrant. So Yosef found a way in which he could reduce the level of, wow, this is unbelievable. Okay. So how does he do it? By moving people around. Okay. He says the following, we're on the bottom right column, moving over to the top left column. He says, if you read Rashi carefully, we see that again, there's a story here in the Torah that seems to be insignificant about, you know, moving populations from one place to the other. And he says the following, HaTorah lo ba lesaper stam. This is not just history. And tell me what Yosef did, you know, and so forth and so on. But rather, this story is meant to teach us Musar, an ethical principle of great significance. And that is that in order not to embarrass his son, his brothers and have them suffer this humiliation of being immigrants, Hafach Yosef Medina Shlema. Yosef is willing to turn over the upside down the entire state of this country called Mitzrayim. That's Hakol Oserak Kidei Shlotia. He's going to move people around from place to place in order to avoid his brothers feeling a sense of discomfiture, of humiliation as immigrants, and he's going to do all this tirchuk. Imagine what went on over here. You know, people packing their bags, relocating, and all this is in order to guarantee that the brothers feel not humiliated, but, you know, everyone's comfortable, everyone's distracted. And we should derive from this for our own lives. Before we spoke about the awesome fear of judgment and rebuke, but now we should derive the principle of chesed, that a person should be dedicated to such an extent to chesed and to sensitivity for the need of the other, to identify and empathize with another person, is kolshkein im achim ubnei mishpacha. How much more so should we be sensitive to the feelings of our own brothers and the members of our family? Okay, now we go back to the beginning of the parsha, and that's on page 110. Vayigash elav Yehuda, vayomer bi Adoni yedaberna avdecha davar biasnei Adoni v'al yechar apcha biavdecha ki kamocha kiparo. That's on page 110 in your Chumash. Now, Yehuda says in his introductory statement to this whole dramatic presentation to Yosef, he says, "Al yichar apcha b'avdecha." You know, I'm going to speak to you, but don't get angry at me. The very fact that he says, "Don't get angry at me," says Rashi, "Mikana talomit shedibra elov kashos," that there were some very harsh words that Yehuda uttered in the presence of Yosef. What lesson, what moral principle can we derive from this? And he says the following. Very often I have a gripe against someone. I have a claim against him. Why did he do this? Why did he do that? He shouldn't speak about it when the man's back is turned. You know, he starts complaining to others about the way he's being treated by so-and-so. But rather, in front of so-and-so, face-to-face. What's going to probably happen is that if you put all your claims on the table in a frontal confrontation with the person who you think's wronged you, no flaws. Most of your arguments will fall apart. And it'll become clear that really it was just a misunderstanding between them. That this other person was not trying to harm them and trying to undermine them. There was simply a misunderstanding. This is what Yehuda was trying to teach us here in this confrontation. He had a lot of claims against Yosef, and we're going to see them later on. The Eskulam and all of them Omar lo befanav. He's going to say to him and present them face to face lo shum hanachot. He's not going to omit anything. So if you go through the entire parsha, he says to them, he says how are you taking away the youngest son and our father Jacob is not going to survive it, and you've already taken away our oldest son, Shimon, and basically he says whatever is on his mind. So Rabosa, a lot of people, and I'm not excluding myself, we bottle things up inside of us. We're afraid of that confrontation. And we have claims and arguments against someone. We think that someone has hurt us, but we keep them inside. And if you don't let them express themselves outside those feelings, then what happens is they get bottled up and then they explode. That's the way the human being works. And Yehuda at this point is ready to present his arguments against Yosef. And that's Darka Shel Torah. That's what the Torah wants to teach us. That if you want to bring to some positive results and reestablish an understanding between you and your friend after he supposedly insulted you, then the best way of doing it and getting the best results is to stand in front of him face to face, place forward and present your arguments and your claims against him, and then at the end all the misunderstandings will be resolved. Now we look at Pasuk Yud Ches, which is on the same page 110. Now Rashi says on the Pasuk Ki Kamochav Kiparo, in which Yehuda compares Yosef to Paro, Chashuv Ata B'Einai Kimelech, you are important in my eyes as the king himself. Vizel pshuto, and that's the simple, straightforward understanding of the words ki kamocha kifara. Umidrash. Over Rashi now quotes a medrash. Sofcha lilkos olav bitzaras. At the end of the day, God will mete out punishment against you, and you will suffer from leprosy. Kimosha loka paro, just like Paro himself suffered from leprosy, al yedeis kenasi sara. What happens is that, if you recall, Paro takes Sara into his palace, and he wants to have a relationship with her. And it was his whole Hashem sends a malach, and he, that means Paro, is smitten, smitten with a bout of leprosy. And that's what happens because of Sara, Laila Achash Ikva, because you held up Sara for one night. And therefore, if Hashem metes out such severe punishment to you, then, you know what? Diber imo kamocha kaparo, that Sofcha lilkos olav, I'm warning you, says Yehuda to Yosef, you will suffer tzaras, leprosy, just as Paro suffered leprosy for what he did to Sara. Dover Acher, my Paro goes to Vena Makayim. You remind me of Paro. That's what Yehuda is saying over here. This is not political correctness. He says to him, you remind me of Paro, and just like Paro goes Avinu Makayim, Avtiach Avinu Oseh, just like we got so many promises from Yaakov about what's going to improve, and nothing came about. None of these promises were really fulfilled. That's how Paro was. And Achatoke, you Yosef are the same. V'chizuhi Simas Ayin Shamatol Asuma Encha Olav. You yourself, Yosef, said that you would protect our son. Is that what you call protection when you take him in and accuse him of whatever sin, whatever crime? Dover Acher Ki Kamocha Ki Paro. You're like Paro Imtak Niteni. If you continue to confront me, is Erog Oscha V'es Adonecha. I will destroy you and your master. Now, once again, it sounds like all these different commentaries of Rashi are just telling us stories, and we have the obligation to derive messages from those stories. And for that, you want to turn to the other side of your page. How do we approach this and derive Musar? And he says the following. He says that Dvarim Koshim Lechavero Yira Kodim Lekarvo Elov Velo Lirachek Osomimeno. You should begin, before you use harsh words, to bring a person a little bit closer to you. And then when he feels that there's a genuine friendship or an admiration, then you can speak words that are harsh. Ki im nemru advar mitok harichuk, if you want to use harsh words against someone when you're in the state of richuk, you're very far removed one from the other, there's already an anger and an inhibition to speak to that person. Is polim em olechas ha-hepech mi hatachlis ha-nirtzes. In that case, by speaking harsh words, you can achieve the exact opposite goal of the one that you set for yourself. But the right way to do is first start with kiruv. Let's get together and let's be close. And then, nitan lahatif lo musa. When we're in this state of closeness, then I can give you castigation. But as long as we're far from each other and there's a friction between us and a cold air, you know, like the West and the East, it was the Cold War. You know, in that frame of reference, in that ambiance, it's very impossible to give tochacha. V'zeo, and therefore, the first thing we find in our parasha is Vayigash Elav Yehuda. And Vayigash means we're close to each other. Once we're close to each other, then you can give musa because you have a certain perspective and a certain interpretation of what that other person was guilty of. So we see from this whole parasha of Vayigash Elav Yehuda that before Yehuda embarks on the project of giving Yosef Musar, first he's Makariv him. They become close. That's what they say. You know, today we live in a generation where A very important movement in Judaism, or maybe the most important movement in Judaism, is Kiruv, you know, because there's so many Jews who have not received a Torah education and Jewish education in their childhood. And one of the main rules of Kiruv is that first you got to be Makariv, you got to have a close relationship. You invite someone for a Shabbos meal, you become friendly with them, and they believe that you're genuine in your friendship, then you can try to encourage a person. But if you meet a person on the street, you have no relationship with him, and then start yelling about him, hey, you don't know Torah, you don't learn, you don't do mitzvahs, that's not going to accomplish anything. Perhaps the opposite of what you want to achieve. So that's the rule of Kiruv, and that's Vayigash Elav Yehuda. And now he says the following. Rashi says, Ki kamocha kiparo, it means chashiv bienov kiparo. That Yehuda is saying, you, Yosef, are as important to me, I've put you on a pedestal, as if you were Paro himself. And that's again, that's the kiruv, you know, that allows them for a closer relationship. And after that, he can, you know, he's ready to give him tochacha. Then he says the following. We have to be very careful. Many people don't know how to give mussar. And not only do they fail to be makariv someone, but even worse than that, they merachik that person.
They put them off.
They put them off. Excellent. The rabbim chalolim kvar hipila tsuras hanhagazu. This kind of improper way of doing kiruv has already destroyed the lives on a spiritual level of many Jews. But rather, divrei musar, all of musar has to be recited, has to be said in a framework of rachmanut and avat, avat gedola, of love and compassion. Meaning, if you're giving me musar, if I feel that you really are genuinely interested in my best benefit, and you do, you know, your musar is coming out of a heart of love. He says, "Barachmanut as out of a sense of compassion, then I'm open to hear what you have to say. If I think you're on my side and we're working in tandem, and you mean it for my best benefit, then I want to listen." That's why in a marriage relationship, it's very appropriate and it's very fruitful for one spouse to give musa to the other, because it's in a framework of love. If there's a good, healthy love relationship between a husband and a wife, then within that framework, within that ambiance, you know, it's very possible to give musa, and the other person is not on the defensive. Who's this guy who's attacking me and he's undermining me and saying I'm a no good Nick and this and no. I know that my beloved, my spouse means the best for me, and that's the best and most successful, fruitful framework and relationship for Musa. To such an extent, this challenge of how difficult it is to give Musa is that Rabbi Lozman Azariah in his generation already declared, Tamidi, I would wonder, I'd be surprised if Yesh Bedar Zef, if there's any individual in our generation, Shiodeh Lohochiyah, who really knows how to give
Musa,
how to give Tochoch, how to chastise someone. And Rashi says, Lohochiyah, Derech Kavod. If I respect you and I honor you and you feel that, you sense the vibes, then you're willing to accept my, receive my musa. And then we have the pasuk Ocher Tochir Samisecha, and Chazal say we have to be very very careful not to embarrass someone by giving him musa, by giving him tochacha. Because as a result, if he's embarrassed, then instead of accomplishing your goal, you end up with a sin. Because if you embarrass someone to the point to which his face turns red, then you lose your chelik in olam haba. So here you started out with the mitzvah of tochacha, and you gave musa in such a way that you embarrassed someone, so you lose by giving that musa. You forfeited your place in olam haba. So we see that the mitzvah of musa requires a great deal of professional excellence and success, very meticulous work. You know, you can't just throw out words of you're no good, Nick. And then, you know, today they have people who throw rocks, you know, rock throwers at Jewish people, and because they think that's the way of saying Shabbos, you know, that they're violating the Shabbos. At the end of the day, I doubt if they accomplish much. If they do, it's only negative. That I can promise you. No one is going to become more Yiddish and more dedicated to Yiddishkeit because they threw stones at him. And therefore, the Torah emphasizes Vayigash Elov. Vayigash Elov means be makariv him, bring him close. You want to give musa to a person, you want to uplift him and give him challenges, but first you have to do kiruv, liskariv Elov. And the rule of tochacha in the Gemara in Yevamos, this is at the end of the paragraph, Zehu, is Kishem Shemitsuva Lomar Dovar Nishma Kach Mitzvah Lomar Shalom Dovar She'eno Nishma. People are not aware of this. But just like there's a mitzvah to say somebody, to give someone musa that he'll accept and receive, there's also an iser of, or a mitzvah of not giving musa when you know that he's not listening to you. And keep in mind that when Yehuda here speaks to Yosef, he says, "Yidaver no avdecha dog biozne adoni." You know, it should go into your ears. In other words, I want it to penetrate through any sort of veils and external
impediments.
Yeah, and so what I meant to say was external facades. You know, you have to penetrate through those facades. And how do you do that? By biuznei adoni. It has to go into his ears. And also, it's got to be very secretive. You know, you're not supposed to give a castigation to someone publicly, because that's just going to cause the exact opposite effect. You have to give it, be very private about this tochacha, this mitzvah tochacha. And now, after you're close to him, and you're ready to give a musa, and he's ready to hear the musa, as Rashi says, ki kamocha kaparo, because I respect you like, just as I respect paro. So the stage is set for musa. And then when Rashi says, dibra elof kashos, so okay, he spoke to him kashos, you know, real strong, unadulterated, explicit musa that he gave him, castigation. But that's okay, because he started with love, he started with kiruv, he started with respect, kamocha kaparo. In that context and in that ambiance, then you can give direct and explicit musar without hesitating. I remember in Kew Garden Hills, New York, there's a young Rabbi Marcus, and his shul, I think it's called the Young Israel of Queens Valley. It was originally called the Ishei Yisrael, but they merged with the Young Israel. And when you hear him speak, he gives real serious musar without holding back. But you know that he means it out of love. And it's very powerful. You can't walk out of there untouched. You know, he tells you like it is. And he points out things that, you know, we should be focused on. It says, Al tochiach letz. That's what Shlomo Melech says in musar. Pen yisnecha. If you give tochacha to a letz is a cynic, then he might hate you. But hocheach lechacham, if you give tochacha not to this cynical letz, who's laid back and he doesn't want to be bothered by your words of rebuke, but rather you give it to a chacham, to a person who's dedicated to the service of Hashem, is then v'ahavcha, he'll love you for it. So there's a contrast here between the case of a letz and the case of a chacham. If you're giving tochacha to a letz, beware. That could be very dangerous, because at the end of the day, instead of being makariv and increasing the level of love, you'll have the opposite. Also, love only adam v'litzok olav shu letz u'bekach lo chicho al tochiach letz v'lama pen yisnacha. If you go straight away without any introductions and at any kiruv, without indicating that you mean it on his behalf and you're genuine, then at the end of the day, your tochacha will be ki yisnacha. It'll lead to sin. It'll increase the enmity, the hatred. Ubevadei shelo yikabli meni divrei musa. And how much more so, if you ask me, did he receive the musa and accept it and internalize it? The answer clearly is no. Umayhi hatsura nachona lahochiach li adam. What's the best recipe for giving tochacha? Al yedei she huva lachacham. In other words, first you treat him as if he were a chacham with a great deal of respect, and mar lo, tell him that he's a chacham gadol. And if you tell him and you build him up in that way that he's a chacham gadol, he begins to understand that it's not appropriate for him, a person on his level, to do a certain action, whatever that action might be. And therefore, val yedei zeh v'ahavcha, you create a love relationship. It's really interesting when you think that, you know, giving tochacha could generate love. You know, you think that tochacha is going to separate a person from someone else. Who appreciates when you're being criticized? But no, the answer is, if you do it in the right way, and you're talking to a chacham and not to a letz, not to a cynic, but rather someone who really wants to improve himself and climb and ascend the spiritual ladder of Har Hashem, that's already a different story. Then on the contrary, your tochacha is going to bring increased ava. It's going to intensify the ava. Okay, now we're looking in Perek Mem Dalid, Pasuk Yuches. Ah, so wait a minute. Are we still? Oh, so I see. Now he's looking at the following statement in Rashi. It says, Adoni sha'alas avadav mitchila. What is Yehuda's argument? That when we first showed up and we presented ourselves to you at the very beginning, you responded to us be'alila. Rabbi, so do you know what the word alila means?
Yes, and unjust criticism.
Excellent, excellent, beautiful. It's a kind of a libel almost. In other words, I come to you and I fabricate some sort of story as if you're guilty of a crime. And that's exactly what Yehuda is saying about Yosef, that he, Yosef, critically and fabricated in a lie. You know, he came up with some sort of fabrication, a lila, you know, a libel against the brothers. Lama hayelach olish ol kolela. Why did you ask all these questions? These were questions that are inappropriate in that context. Bitcha yinu mevakshim? Did we come here to ask to marry your daughter? Oh, achosenu atam mevakish, or you met with us because you're interested in marrying our daughter? This is not a family relationship. The afal b'kein, and nevertheless, here it says, v'nomar of Adoni. What does this mean?
Where is that?
Here, if you give me your page, I'll underline it for you, so you'll be able to see where I'm up to. Just 1 second. V'afal pichem. This is the paragraph that starts here. Oh, you're already on page 3. I'm sorry, I'm still on page 2. That's why I didn't find it. Oh. You see, I underlined it, Harvey, so you know where we're up to.
Yes.
So, what is Yehuda saying to Yosef? He says, Afal bichein vanomer el Adoni. That's in Pasuk Chaf, if you take a look. Vanomer el Adoni. In other words, you were asking us very personal questions that don't seem to be relevant or appropriate in this context, and yet we answered them honestly, straightforward. You asked us, and we said, you know, to our master, Lo kachadu mimcha dava, we didn't withhold any information, we gave you all the information, now you're going to turn around and use that information against us? Now, Rashi says in his opening line here, that when Yehuda says Al Yichar Apcha Biavdecha, lest our master gets angry at us, Rashi says Diber Imo Koshos, that Yehuda said some very difficult and harsh words. How does Rashi know that? And on the other hand, it seems not like Rashi. It seems that Yehuda's relationship to Yosef and everything he said was one of kavod, Adoni. He keeps repeating Adoni, our master. And the answer is, if you take a look on the top of your left column over here on page 2, he says the Torah, through Rashi, is really revealing to us that even if we need to speak very difficult words, harsh words with someone, nevertheless, we should say it b'derech remiza. Remiza means
indirect.
Indirect, excellent. Indirect b'derech eretz, with kavod. Shebein sheyovin hasheni mitochad dvarim shebaim lahavim. Not explicit and direct criticism, but rather in between the lines, implicit. And that's what it means. Diber olav kashos. You know, on the one hand, you know, you look in the parasha and Yosef and Yehuda speaks to Yosef in the most respectable way, calling him my master. Why does Rashi say diber olav kashos? The answer is the brilliance of Yehuda was that he said everything beremiza instead of saying it directly. And at this point, Yosef breaks down. Lo yachol Yosef lis'apik. He cannot hold himself back, and he reveals the truth that he's Yosef. So you see that Yehuda employed the right tactic over here. He was very smart about it. And instead of giving him direct Musa, which would make Yosef feel on the defensive, you know, he would feel very uncomfortable, he gave him Musa with Vermeza, you know, in an indirect sort of way. And that, you know, won up, in that way he won over Yosef until finally Yosef broke down and revealed himself. Ube'emes, Kfarmavur Bisfarim Akdoshim, if you take a look in the holy writings, She'imoye Yosef, the two paragraphs that start with Be'emes, he says this is what Yehuda's, this was his program, that he really wanted to break Yosef down, I mean, cause him to break down and present the truth, because there was a serious suspicion here that Yosef is holding back from them or something, because why was Yosef so harsh and accusing them of things that who would dream that they were guilty of?
And they were just part of a long line of people who came to buy
food. And he singled them out, accused them of espionage. What's going on here? So Yehuda's program is to get Yosef to sort of soften up. On the one hand, bring him closer, Vayigash, and Vi'ozne Adoni, talk him to Kavod, but at the same time, to tell him, hey, what's going on with you? This is not fair. And maybe Yosef will break down and he'll reveal the truth. And he says that in the holy books, it says that if Yosef would have only held out a little bit longer, then Hoya Biyodo Lesakin Lagamis Apagam Shel Chet Mechiroso.
He will get Mechira for having sold him in the first place.
Right, he, Yehuda, and hopefully the brothers as well, that would have been a tikkun, because Lo Yitzrichim Lagia Acherkach Le Hariga Sasor Ruge Malchus. Later in history, you know, there was retribution against this terrible sin of Mechiras Yosef, in which the Asor Ugi Malchus were killed, right? We spoke about this, I think, last week. But since Yehuda spoke to him in such a way, Bechachma, Yosef already collapsed, you know, he broke down. So the brothers didn't actually suffer enough of a punishment for their sins, and that's going to be, you know, the retribution for that sin is going to take place down the line in Jewish history. It's very hard for us to really, you know, plummet to the depths of understanding what exactly was behind this controversy, you know, this confrontation between Yosef and his brothers. Machlokas bein hashvatim liYosef haisa makom gavoh ma'od. You know, we see we interpret these psukim and the friction between Yosef and his brothers, that confrontation on a level of jealousy, and in human terms, it's really on a much higher level. But nevertheless, we can derive derech Musa, that a person, when he tries to give castigation, he should not speak to him in a way of gasus, you know, as if he's great and the other person is low, and make him feel self-defensive, as we said before. And even if he's right, he should only speak to him in a remez, you know, that he should understand between the lines that he's been, you know, he deviated from the right path. That so the person, the recipient, will understand himself what he, you know, where his mistakes were. This is the famous episode of David HaMelech, you know, after he had a relationship with Bathsheba. So Nosan HaNavi, the Navi came and he gave him a whole mashal about someone who had sheep and somebody took away his sheep, you know, the whole thing, until finally David realized what the message was. So it's very important to get to the point where the recipient of the Musa, he himself actively applies the Musa, you know, like you give him a beged and he puts on the beged. He applies it to himself. And he says, Lo dai, im yavaisha, if he embarrasses him, then it's not enough that he doesn't achieve really the goal of the tochacha, but he might even be makalkel. That's how dangerous it is to give. You know, it's like walking a tight rope when you give someone musa. You can go to this extreme and be very successful. You go to the other extreme and it's a total failure. It's worse than it was before. And therefore, we always have to understand how to give musa, how to bring someone to the state of tshuva, and especially in our generation, it's very difficult for people to receive mus. Everyone is so, you know, convinced that his derech is the right derech, and you know, if he's chas shalom, he's an atheist, he'll tell you it is. If he's an agnostic, he always justifies, very comfortable where he is. So it's really a difficult difficult project to get that person to feel, you know, maybe I missed the boat over here. Maybe I'm not thinking in the right way, and there's more to life, and there's more to truth than what I've believed all these times. You know, to make that radical change, that's a difficult challenge. And again, we have to be very careful not to be pogan someone, not to insult that person, put them on the defensive when we give musa. The way of being makarev someone is by first making them feel comfortable, making them feel, yes, I'm your friend and I mean this for your benefit, and see if you can project that genuine friendship, not false friendship. He says, "In yischanef elov," you know, not just to heap upon him praises because the person doesn't believe that you're sincere. You know, he thinks you're just trying to flatter him, right? He says that's only going to be makalka. That's going to have a negative thing. Now we fast forward to pasuk chaf, which is again on the same page. It says, "Yeshlanu avza kein v'yelitz kunim katan." We told you from the outset that we have an older father, we have a young brother whose older brother died, and this younger brother is the only one left beloved to his father and his mother. And he says, what we see from this is Shahayu Yehuda Tainos Gedolos Miodol Yosef. You know, Yehuda had really great claims against Yosef, very heavy claims. Because by taking the youngest son away, look what he's doing to the father and the mother. But nevertheless, he still maintains that coolness, that intelligence. You know, he doesn't let his emotions get carried away with him. He always speaks to Yosef in a derech of kavod. He calls him Adoni. That's derech eretz. And therefore, even when a person, this is teaching us, even when a person has really fundamental gripes against someone, because that person has hurt him tremendously, nevertheless, even though he feels absolutely right and justified in what he's doing, he should speak b'derech eretz. He should never speak down to the person and be mezalzel in his covenant, because that's going to cause the opposite result. Now, let's take a look a little bit in last week's parasha for a second and see if we can connect it to this week's parasha. That's Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Hey. So here we can go back to page 105. Towards the bottom of the page it says, V'yem ein chavishalech lo nered, ki ha'ish amar elenu lo siru fanai bilti achichem ha'itchem. Right. Okay, so that's the very, very harsh words of Yehuda, who is telling his father that you've got to send Binyamin down with us. And Apostle Dali says, "If Yeshcha b'shalech esachinu itonu, if you will send our brother Nerda, then we're in agreement. We consent to Nishbal l'cha'ochel to bring back some good sustenance and some good food to support the family." Vayomer Yehuda Yisrael Aviv. Shilcha hanar iti v'nakuma v'ne'enelcha v'nichye v'lo yomus. Now is the urgent moment. Send Binyamin with us. Gam anachnu v'lo namus, gam anachnu gam tapenu. We have to survive this. And it seems that Yisrael, it says Vayomer Yehuda el Yisrael, he doesn't say Yaakov in this case, Merames, this is a remez, lemadregas gadlus. In other words, not Yaakov, which is something of a remez of kaknus, but the greatest name, you know, the most, shall I say, lofty name of Yaakov is Yisrael. So Yehuda comes forward and he speaks to Yisrael Aviv. And the Torah wants to teach us here that even though Yehuda had some pretty strong arguments against Yaakov here, because how can they possibly show up in front of the man, you know, the second in command in Egypt, without bringing Binyamin, Mikomakom, nevertheless, and here we're on the top of page 3, he spoke to him, B'derech Eretz. He's speaking to Yisrael. Yisrael is the, you know, the highest stature that we have. And he sees his father begadluso. He puts his father on a pedestal as if he's great. Even though, again, Yehuda has pretty serious qualms or complaints against, you know, accusations against Yaakov for letting this go by and not agreeing to send Binyamin down, and that's why we're in a situation of zero food. We're on the verge of death. And this teaches us that when a person has to speak to his father and he has to tell him a ha'ara, ha'ara means he has to give him a little bit of a complaint, because sometimes a father makes mistakes. But yakvid lomer sadvarim b'derech eretz v'kavod. Just like we said before, when you give rebuke to someone, it always has to be with a state of derech eretz and kavod. So too, even when, and how much more so when you're speaking to your own father, it's got to be b'derech kavod. And now, towards the end of Miketz, which I think, if I read this correctly, no, at the beginning of Vayigash, I should say, after Yosef presents the accusation that Yosef had falsely fabricated this claim that they were guilty of espionage, and now you're taking the youngest son, Binyamin, Atokevoyel Avdecha, of when I come back to my father whom I serve, and Hanar Eina Itanu, and the child is not with us, is Benafsho Kshura Benafsho.
Don't.
Right. So he says here the name of the Arizal, that excuse me. Thank you. That reality is made up of five different dimensions. There's Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. This is all Lurianic Kabbalah, as they call it. And the Gemara tells us, and this is amplified by Tosus at the beginning of Masechta Yevamos, that Bra Karidavia, that literally a son is the leg of his father. Well, Chazal say Uber Yerech Imo, that the fetus in its mother's womb is part of the mother. And why is that? Kishenidayek, if we're very careful, and Nire Shaben Masig Rak Es Madregas Haraglayan Shall of the Imo. Now, the human body is made up of different parts, and the lower parts is the legs. So a son is only like a leg of his father. He only achieves that lower level. And there are two midos amongst the, you know, the seven major spheros called Netzach and Hod. And these two form like a unit, and they symbolize the two thighs of a person. Like, for example, in the tefillah which the Sfaradim have, based on the Zohar, Patach Elio, they say Netzach v'Hod are in Yechin. Yerchin means the thighs. So if we take a look at the five dimensions of reality, the nefesh, which is the first of the five, and it's like a life force, a basic life force, that has its root in the rechayim, in the lower part of a person's body. Ki ha nefesh hi ha madrega tachtonu mikol elu. The five levels that we're talking about, the nefesh is the lowest of the five. Vegam haraglayim, and the legs are the lowest part of the human body. And therefore, Yehuda. Let me get this right. Yehuda says to Yosef, "Benafsho kshura benafsho." In other words, the nefesh itself, in this case of Binyamin, is connected to the nefesh of Yaakov. Lo omashu kashur gam l'shar chalok im ruach neshama yechida and chaya kevan shaben yochel asig rakis madrigas hanefesh al aviv shehem hayirei chayim v'lo Yosef v'arei shekoshu v'nafsho bilvad. Interesting twist on nafsho kshu v'nafsho. It means the son is connected to his father in the lower part, the basic part, which is called the nefesh. And then we have the pasuk here, pasuk gimel, in the next parasha, which I think here is on page 111, Vayomer Yosef el Echav, ani Yosef od Avichai. And you remember that we spoke about the fact that the brothers were frozen, they were stunned, they were speechless. Vayomer Yosef el Echav, and Yosef turns to speak to his brothers. Yosef hodia le'echav ani Yosef, he notifies him that I am Yosef, identifies himself. And ani Yosef means, according to the Mefarshim, ani Yosef HaTzadik, I'm the same Yosef that I was in my father's house many, many years ago. Hainu sholem legamrei, I still have my midos, and my and the specific midah of Yosef is yesod. You know, that's the midah, the attribute of a person which enables him to overcome temptation, especially in the sexual area. And that's where Yosef was able to overcome the temptation of Eishes Potiphar. And all this is why? How am I able to maintain, despite the terrible experiences of the exile in Egypt, nevertheless I maintain my level of tzaddik, of Yosef HaTzaddik, because od avichai, because my father is still alive. And whenever I speak or think about my father, I contemplate him, that motivates me. He's very much alive within me. And everything that I do and everything that I decide to do, he, my father, is always in my thoughts. I'm always asking myself, what would my father expect me to do at this point? How would I rise above the temptations and achieve the goal? And that's what Yosef wants to convey to them when he says, you know, I am Yosef, but od avichai. In other words, even though so many years have passed by, I haven't changed, there's been no transformation, I haven't corrupted my personality, and therefore, after 22 years of living amongst these goyim and these rishonim, I still am Yosef the tzaddik. And when we want to learn something from this, and of course, especially for the youth, who think that, you know, Yeshno Yosef Midarke Ovis Kach Yia Yosef Hashuvim. In other words, that people, the youth, tend to think, well, I'm gonna pave my own way, and I'm gonna deviate from the way of my parents. You know, I have to make my own mark on the world, and they want to change, you know, the style, the approach, the clothes that the parents wear, the way their parents speak and express themselves. That's a major mistake, Chas V'Sholem.
Unless you're going to Torah.
Right, if you're following your parents for Torah, or if, let's say, your parents, you know, you're deviating from your parents because they weren't interested in Torah, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you have parents that are bringing you up in the right way, in the traditional way, and they're dedicated to Torah, you want to deviate from that, and that's, youth have a tendency of wanting to break away, I'm going to make my own thing. He says, no. We have to follow Yosef's paradigm. And just like Yosef, even though he didn't see his father for 22 years face to face, but nevertheless his father was always much alive in him. And he says that's what we find in the Gemara in Sota regarding the fact that Yosef was able to overcome this very severe and tempting situation of the Eishes Potiphar. And he saw the Dmus Diukno Shel Aviv. Yosef saw in front of him, in the apple of his eye, so to speak, in the vision of his eye, he saw a vision of his father in a dream. And his father came to him and said, you know, all the brothers are going to have a stone in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, in the Choshen, and you will be missing. Right? Why? Because you went down and had this relationship with Eishes Potiphar. So we see here on the top of the left column that what saved Yosef from sin, it was the fact that his father was still very much with him, very much alive with him. And that was his avodah. And that's the way we should emulate Yosef, learn from him, that we should be following the derech, the diukno shel aviv. We should always take the image of our father with us. Sha'al avicha v'yagedcha zkeinecha v'yomru lecha. A person has to behave in a way that would be appropriate for his fathers, his forefathers, his ancestors, as if they see him. And finally, just to finish this up, v'yishalach es echo v'yelchu v'yomaleim al tirguzu badorech. Rashi says that you can understand Yosef's warning to the brothers in two different ways. On a simple level, he was simply saying that, you know what, be careful, don't get into, you know, into distractions, right, in harm's way. arguments, and he says on a deeper level, you could say Lefishayu Nichlam, and they were so embarrassed about the sale of Yosef, he was afraid Yosef Shema Yarivu B'derach Al Mechirasa. You know, each one will point an accusing finger at the other one and say you were the one and you could have prevented it and you caused us all this hatred and so forth and so on. And here we learn something very important for our lives, that every Talmid Chacham has students and every father has children. How should we relate? Kol echad yesh lo hashpa'al at tzibur. Tzorech hu lidob kol koch hashem zol tovi takol bet tzibur shelo v'yaseir behen v'kod v'yidog shelo yikra shum ki sholem v'neim. You know, it's when you are raising the flock, you have to realize that there might be some friction and some criticism one to the other. And here you have to be, you know, go to whatever extreme you have to go to and take the law into your hands and the action into your hands. And yachdin v'yidog lem lomar sheyirushalo yetzik yishol mitachzion, make sure that you guide them in a way that there shouldn't be this terrible kishalon, you know, downfall if they start blaming each other and fighting amongst each other. Yosef was younger than them and yet he worried about them, and we have to worry about all the people around us. And with that sensitivity and that ethics, Yemirtz Hashem will be elevated, will learn from the stories in this week's Parasha, Parashas Vayigash, and will be on the right way, L'shem L'Tiferes, Kein Yiratzon, Amen.